Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Brad Edwards from ESPN, their ESPN College Football Insider. He'll be with us today. Eric owes me a lunch. I tried to wait 10 minutes into the show, but when we left yesterday, Eric was really fired up about the college football playoff, and I was just dead flat wrong. So we're going to get into that with Brad Edwards.
I wasn't just wrong. I was so cocky and arrogant about how I boastfully said, you know what, I'll bet you the lunch, and I don't even care where the lunch bet is.
No, you laid it out there.
Yeah.
I was very appreciative of the offer. Because as you were saying it, it was like, I don't know, he's been in Vegas the last few days. Does he not realize that Michigan is just going to sit there because these CFP people are led? Barry Alvarez is one of the leading voices on this.
I understand that.
He's a Wisconsin guy.
He's
a Big Ten guy. So what do you know? The Big Ten does not get the shaft.
I just don't get it, Brad.
No, I know.
I just don't get it. 2 weeks ago, LSU played Alabama to a 10-0 loss. The game was 7-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
LSU dropped 11 spots. 11. Michigan lost to Iowa.
I'm going to take
average, good old Iowa.
I'm going to take my headsets off, and Eric's just going to do a show today because
I just don't get it. Never get it.
Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is going to be with us today. So we have Fitz Sr. on whenever the Cardinals play the Vikings. Of course, Fitz Sr. covers media back in Minneapolis. Longtime Twin Cities multimedia personality. I saw him at Sunday's Cardinal game. And what's the deal with Sam Bradford and when they lost Adrian Peterson and Norv Turner quit? It's like as the world turns in Minnesota, they've just been a disaster this year. So we'll talk with Fitz Sr. as the Cardinals play at Minnesota on Sunday morning. I felt like last night I was into the college football rankings, the playoff rankings, and Eric and I are going to go round and round on that a little bit. Tony Romo got into the news cycle late yesterday afternoon by just resonating with people, just saying things that we all think I do believe, and coming across as somebody that you say to yourself, man, I cannot help but not want to see him succeed. I want him to. You want to see him get on the field after he laid out how happy he is for Dak Prescott and how he wants to play. Tony Romo is one of those guys that resonates across the NFL and actually in all sports. There's people that either hate Tony Romo or love Tony Romo. There is no middle ground when it comes to Tony Romo. Either he's a stiff or he can play. And for you cowboy honks, and you know who you are, you've been the ones that have been banging on him. And when I watch him come across as humble and well thought and putting sports in perspective as he did yesterday, you sit there and you hear him. I was driving along yesterday afternoon. Yes, that's true. No, that's really good. Wow, that's really deep. This is coming from a quarterback in the National Football League. On a Tuesday afternoon, they usually don't open themselves up for something like that. So we're going to have some of the Tony Romo press conference from yesterday because I do think it's important for you to hear. I watched U of A last night in basketball. Look, we have the Final Four here and in March, and I don't know if U of A is going to make it or not. Every year they say they're going to be really good, and every year they fizzle out and flame out. Around the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16, U of A's out of there. I watched him play last night. This freshman, Markinson, their center, is pretty darn good. And he's really good. I understand it's Cal State Bakersfield. Cal State Bakersfield made the tournament last year. I watched some of Duke and Eric, did you see Duke and Kansas at all last night? Check that one out?
Nope, I didn't.
So
I was too angry after watching the college football playoffs.
Oh, come on,
to
let it go.
Sports.
Are you one of those guys that had to go for a walk over that deal?
Nope. We just turned on some reality TV and called it.
Oh, boy. Yeesh. So Kansas played Duke last night. Duke's number one. Kansas is seventh. Kansas has Mitch Lightfoot, who played here in the Valley at Gilbert Christian. I'm always interested in how the local kids do. Mitch Lightfoot in the last week played against Duke, and he played against Indiana. That's pretty darn good for us here in the Valley. Next year at this time, DeAndre Ayton over at Hillcrest Prep and Alex Barcelo over at Corona del Sol will probably be starting for the U of A next year, and that's pretty cool for us. So there's some college basketball that caught my eye. Phil Jackson using the word posse and upsetting LeBron James, and then he retweeted it this morning in a different form of using the word posse. I just think that's funny. LeBron James offended that He's using the word posse. Maverick Carter offended, and Maverick Carter represents all these players because he's part of LeBron. It's a posse. It is. It's a group. Whatever term you want to use, it's his buds. It's his. And LeBron's trying to figure out what was the motivation of Phil using the word posse and how he's offended by that. I see these guys that roll in with their five or six friends from high school, and just because it's LeBron James doesn't mean it's any different. His posse, Maverick Carter's one of his guys. Eric Bledsoe's one of Maverick Carter's posse with LeBron James. Maverick Carter's a power player. He's LeBron's agent. And he represents one of the Suns players who, in my opinion, I think the Suns should try and trade. So yeah, that story's interesting to me. I may get into that a little bit later on as the show goes. And the Rams decided it's time to put Jared Goff out there at quarterback. Jared Goff will play against Miami on Sunday. Jared Goff has really not much to work with when it comes to wide receivers. I look at the Rams and say, from a fantasy standpoint, Fabiano, I'm sure, is excited for Jared Goff. He's going to get run over. He's going to get crushed out there because Todd Gurley can't run the football. So that caught my eye, too. But the college football playoff, let's go back to that for a minute. Eric, why don't we dive into this? So at the end of the day, I'm looking at, this is my view. Louisville does not deserve to be in the top four. Tomorrow night they play Houston. It clearly is the Heisman Trophy game for Lamar Jackson. Louisville's schedule has not been great. Did Clemson beat Louisville when they played one another? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, so we agree on that. Did Pittsburgh beat Penn State? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Did Pitt beat Clemson? The answer is yes. So Pittsburgh's not in the top four. They're nowhere near the top four. Do I have to look at Pittsburgh if Penn State keeps going and say that's a good win for Penn State? Because we have to factor Penn State into this equation. Could there be three Big Ten teams that go in? The answer should be no. If Ohio State, though, does not make it to the conference championship game, as it is starting to play out,
yes,
does Ohio State then not go into the CFP because they're not a conference champion?
Yes.
Okay, you and I would agree on that. But does the committee look at it and say, no, Michigan goes in because they're in the conference championship game?
Yes.
So, right. So you and I are in agreement on sure. all of this at this point.
Yes. So, we are.
Do we look at the CFP's job and say their job is to find the three best teams that can beat Alabama?
The only thing that I can take away from the CFP that they have been pounding in our heads since this whole thing started
yeah.
is it's a week to week process. It's not who is the best team in 3 weeks, who is the best team in 4 weeks. If we had to pick four playoff teams today, these are our four playoff teams. Michigan loses. How do you reward a team and keep them in the top four this week? Because it's a week to week thing. How do you keep them in the top four? How? They lost.
Okay, so they lost, but is it they look at their whole body of work,
it's
and that was
week,
a bad week.
But it's
was
a it just week a bad to week, week process.
So then in your world, because they lost last week.
It would be like a child getting a speeding ticket, coming home, and getting a reward from their parents. Okay, but doesn't make any sense to me, Brad.
But follow me on this. If it is week to week, and yet you're supposed to be looking at the four best teams in the country, is Louisville a better team this week than Michigan?
Yes.
And I disagree with that.
Michigan lost to Iowa.
I understand that. On the road, last play of the game.
Michigan lost to Iowa. Louisville lost to Clemson.
Louisville lost to Clemson.
They did.
But if you look at... Yes, they did. I know that. But if you look at the games that Louisville has played through the season, I'm not enamored at all with
what
they've
done. No, they've had close calls, but they've won the majority of their games. Remember 3 years ago, Florida State barely got by. They finished undefeated, and they were rewarded.
But the opponents that Louisville has played this year, are they impressive at all? No. I don't think their schedule is very impressive. How many games has Duke won? I don't think they've won any.
Well, I mean, tell me a good win Michigan's had. Their best wins over Colorado, and then they've played Rutgers. They've played Indiana. They've played Penn State, I guess. I mean, I just... So I don't think Penn State's top four team.
The problem
with this whole process is it's Alabama and then...
The rest of the field.
Well, kind of. It's Alabama and then there's just a huge drop-off. There's just a huge drop-off.
See, here's my thing on this. I think Ohio State can beat Alabama.
I don't.
JT Barrett, you got to have a mobile quarterback. You have to have a mobile quarterback against Alabama's defensive front.
Although I'd love to see that game. Sure. I'd love to see Urban Meyer match up against Saban.
Sure. No, absolutely. So they can say Bill Hancock's a nice man we've had on this show. Nicest man on the face of the planet. But he's not going to say anything interesting 2 weeks before it all comes out. To me, it comes down to, of the teams every week, who has the best chance of beating number one? Washington, to me, showed last week they're not that good. They're not a top four team. Do I think they have a path potentially to get back there? Yeah, but they've got to lay the wood on ASU. They have to hope that Washington State just keeps winning. And then in the Pac-12 title game, they've got to hope that Colorado or Utah is pounding through everybody.
And it doesn't help. Brad, that Washington State's not getting any love.
No,
I mean, they've won eight straight games and they're still down. They're barely in the top 25.
Eric, this whole thing about Pac-12, this goes back to my deal on how ASU and U of A should both be looking at conference realignment. They should. Because the Pac-12 is never, ever going to get the attention and respect nationally. Washington State's played how many games at 8:30, 10:30 on ESPN? Every week they're on there. And then when they go on the Pac-12 network, nobody can see them play. But my point on this is, we're going to talk with Brad Edwards in about 10 minutes, is it's about the teams that have the best opportunity to beat Alabama. That's how I see it playing out. And Brad may disagree with me, which is fine. Tony Romo is still trending on Twitter. Not that that's the end-all for me to pick something to talk about, but I think he really resonated with people yesterday with what he said about his situation backing up Dak Prescott. We're going to talk about the Cowboys on the other side. Some NFL news and notes too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. So yesterday, Tony Romo was in the news cycle. And it was because Tony Romo ended up talking finally about his back situation, coming off back surgery. He has been the backup to Dak Prescott, of course. And as the Cowboys have gotten better and better, the pressure has built to have Romo put back in the starting lineup. It's been a big talking point, a lot of controversy. You guys have heard about it. But guys, did you hear Tony Romo yesterday talk about the situation that he's in? We're in a day and age where it's always somebody else's fault and I'm not getting mine and I'm disrespected and so on and so forth. It just wears you or me out. May wear you out, may not. This was Tony Romo's first press conference in weeks. And I thought he was very solemn in his approach. He endorsed Dak Prescott. Look, this is not the presidential race, but I think it's very important just to hear what he had to say and the depth of what he had to say. This was Tony Romo earlier.
To say the first half of the season has been emotional would be a huge understatement. Getting hurt when you feel like you have the best team you've ever had was a soul-crushing moment for me. Then to learn it's not 3 or 4 weeks, but 10 is another blow. And through it all, you have a tremendous amount of guilt on having let your teammates, fans, and organization down. After all, they were depending on you to bring them a championship. That's what quarterbacks are supposed to do. That's how we're judged. I loved that. I still do. But then here you are, sidelined, without any real ability to help your teammates win on the field. That's when you're forced to come face to face with what's happening. Seasons are fleeting, games become more precious, chances for success diminish. Your potential successor has arrived, injured 2 years in a row, and now in the mid-30s. The press is whispering, everyone has doubts, you've spent your career working to get here. Now we have to start all over. You almost feel like an outsider. The coaches are sympathetic, but they still have to coach, and you're not there. It's a dark place. Probably the darkest it's ever been. You're sad and down and out, and you ask yourself, why did this have to happen? It's in this moment that you find out who you really are and what you're really about. You see, football is a meritocracy. You aren't handed anything. You earn everything, every single day, over and over again. You have to prove it. That's the way that the NFL, that's the way that football works. A great example of this is Dak Prescott and what he's done. He's earned the right to be our quarterback. As hard as that is for me to say, he's earned that right. He's guided our team to an 8-1 record, and that's hard to do. If you think for a second that I don't want to be out there, then you've probably never felt the pure ecstasy of competing and winning. That hasn't left me. In fact, it may burn more now than ever. It's not always easy to watch. I think anybody who's been in this position understands that. But what is clear is that I was that kid once, stepping in, having to prove yourself. I remember the feeling like it was yesterday. It really is an incredible time in your life. And if I remember one thing from back then, it's the people that helped me along when I was young. And if I can be that to Dak, you know, I've tried to be, and I will be going forward. I think you all know something magical is happening to our team. I'm not going to allow this situation to negatively affect Dak or this football team by becoming a constant distraction. I think Dak knows that I have his back, and I think I know that he has mine. Ultimately, it's about the team. It's what we've preached our entire lives. I can remember when I was a kid just starting out and wanting to be a part of something bigger than myself. For every high school kid out there or college player, there's greatness in being the kind of teammate who truly wants to be part of a team. Everyone wants to be the reason they're winning or losing. Every single one of us wants to be that person. But there are special moments that come from a shared commitment to play your role while doing it together. That's what you'll remember. Not your stats or your prestige, but the relationships and the achievement that you created through a group. It's hard to do, but there's great joy in that. And all the while, your desire burns to be the best you've ever been. You can be both. I figured that out in this process. It's what separates sports from everything else. It's why we love it. It's why we trust it. It's why I still want to play and compete. Lastly, I just want to leave you with something I've learned in this process as well. You know, I feel like we all have two battles or two enemies going on. One with the man across from you. The second is with the man inside of you. I think once you control the one inside of you, the one across from you really doesn't matter. And I think that's what we're all trying to do. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
So you go through that, and there's so much deepness there, and it's almost like Tony Romo on a Sunday morning at your local church when he's talking about things like the two battles, the man across me and the man inside of you. And, you know, you can do, I figured out through this process, you can do both. There's just some really, really prophetic stuff that you don't hear. All you see is a guy that throws a football and he gets his head knocked in and you're wearing your cowboy shirt. You got your jersey on and, you know, you're the guy that says Romo sucks and Prescott's the man and all that stuff. And then you see that and it's just kind of like, it's refreshing to hear somebody just go deep in front of a microphone. And I heard there were some people said he should have taken questions. No, he shouldn't have. He had no reason to, no right to. Just speak from the heart and then leave. Like, we don't get that ever in doing this. And I when I saw that yesterday, and I didn't see the whole thing, I heard like a minute and a half, and I came in this morning, Eric's like, we have to play Romo, which was the right call. That's stuff that we want It's stuff that we want to see out of our hometown heroes, whether you like him or not. Like, if you don't like Tony Romo even more now after hearing that, then the problem's you. You know, it just is.
The first thing, Brad, not to interrupt you, I thought about after I watched this was the NFL really needed some humility.
Oh.
And if it's Tony Romo, the one that offers the NFL some humility, maybe it's a good thing. The league has been trashed. The league has made bad decisions. The ratings are down. The referees are bad. The style of play is bad. The games are bad. The players...
But the arrogance coming from the league has never been stronger.
Correct.
The arrogance coming from the league about we're the greatest and you people should just be blessed or even in the same room acknowledging you or even breathing in your direction has never been more palpable than it's been now.
And Tony Romo yesterday is everything that should be about sports.
Right.
Everything that encompasses the team before me mentality, even at the highest of levels of the NFL where these guys are making millions of dollars, in the end, it's still a team game.
Yep. No, the whole part about the money side of it drives a lot of people crazy. And I think it's just the humility of it. Like Larry Fitzgerald is somebody that could speak in these terms. He could. He doesn't, but he could. Kurt Warner spoke in these terms. But and I'm not saying that present day Cardinals don't speak in a eloquent, nice way. It's just we don't hear it that much, and instead we get it thrown down on us that, you know, it's all or nothing with us. Well, it's been nothing. So might want to just take a couple steps back and not try to tell everybody how great you are. It was a great bit there from Dallas, and that he would step up and do that. And it's not surprising. That happened yesterday afternoon. It's still trending across our country because people latch onto that and say, yeah, this is why I do like sports.
And it was well-timed because Tuesdays are off days for NFL players. Yeah. So the news cycle on the NFL Tuesdays isn't what it is the rest of the week. So,
Brad Edwards is next. ESPN College Football Insider, good friend of the show on the CFP. I might just let Eric do this segment. Just going to have air. I'll walk out. Just
no.
Let Eric go nuts.
We'll never have Brad on the show again if I do the interview.
ESPN College Football Insider Brad Edwards is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Eric, do you see that it's the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl that came out yesterday? I don't know if the media gift for everybody coming in from out of town is a new PlayStation, but that's just the parting gift they give out as the Fiesta Bowl goes through its transformation. Brad Edwards is with us. Always good to catch up with Brad. ESPN College Football Insider. He's been on the show many, many times. The day after the latest CFP. And I guess right off the top, I appreciate you coming on as always. A, B, were you surprised last night with the way the top four went?
No, nothing in the top four was surprising at all. I know that on the surface, it seems a little odd that Michigan could lose as a 3-touchdown favorite and not move in the rankings at all. I mean, that's something that you'd never seen happen with the polls. But, you know, the committee, I think over the three seasons of this thing, has done a pretty good job of taking a big picture point of view. And they just kind of reset each week and look at the body of work as a whole instead of just reacting to what happened the most recent Saturday. And that's why Michigan is where they are, because they still have three wins over teams that are ranked in the committee's top 10. And I'm not sure anybody else has that. So, some of it, like I said, might have been a little surprising on the surface. But I think when you stop and you look at what these teams have done, there are four teams in college football that have three or more wins against the teams currently ranked in the top 25 by the committee. And those are the teams that are ranked 1 through 4. So no surprise to me, given what the committee places a priority on.
ESPN's College Football Insider, Brad Edwards, with us for a couple of minutes. As this has played out, Brad, what is it that you specifically are looking at in terms of games, matchups? I mean, we could go through Louisville, Houston tomorrow night and say, well, this is going to be one to keep an eye on. But maybe you're looking at it a tad differently and saying, you know, we should probably be paying closer attention to what Penn State's going to do, the Ohio State-Michigan game. What is it that you're starting to look closer at, the deep dive on this?
Well, you know, you actually mentioned a game that I think is important in terms of some of these scenarios and what it would take for certain teams to have a chance if there is more chaos. And I think, and this is, you know, an opinion, I don't know if it's shared by many others, but I think the only way the Big 12 – gets back into this thing is if Louisville loses to Houston tomorrow night. Because I look at where the Big 12 teams are right now, mm-hmm. and I look at where Louisville is, and I just don't see a Big 12 champion finishing ahead of Louisville. And if you can take them out of the mix, then all of a sudden you can see some scenarios where maybe, let's say, a Washington State wins the Pac-12. At that point, I think the Big 12 could get in over the Pac-12 champ. And because the committee just, no matter how well Wazoo plays right now, the committee is not going to put a team in that has a loss to an FCS team. I mean, they hate it when you schedule FCS teams, but to actually lose to one is unforgivable to them. So, you know, that's a big game, I think, for that reason. And then look at two other games that I think are probably the two biggest of the weekend that on most weekends would not be considered that big, but they have significance for other teams as well. I mean, one is West Virginia and Oklahoma. I think, you know, a lot of people would say that could be for the Big 12 title, but it also impacts Ohio State, because in the event that Ohio State is 11-1 and not the Big Ten champion, their resume is going to be something that matters. And if Oklahoma ends up being the winner of the Big 12, obviously that makes Ohio State look better. It makes their case stronger. And then go on to the matchup in the Pac-12 with Washington State and Colorado. You know, this is a game that I think for Washington, they need Wazoo to win this game. Mm-hmm. Because if Colorado beats Wazoo and then Washington turns around and beats Wazoo, I think Washington State falls out of the top 25, and that's one fewer, you know, supposed quality win, if you want to call it that, that the committee would give them, which would hurt their resume. I know all this stuff, it sounds stupid, but this is the way the committee apparently looks at it, because they've been, you know, using these terms for the last 3 years.
Let me throw this by you, and we're talking with Brad Edwards, ESPN College Football Insider. I'm looking at the Arizona State at Washington game from this standpoint. So Washington falls out, they're sixth this week. Brad, they've got to run up the score on ASU. They've got
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, this is now becoming something with the way this lays out, that you've got to have scores that are big numbers. And people may not like that, but it's not going to work if Washington wins that game 27-17. It's got to be 57-17.
Yeah, I think that for some teams it doesn't matter what the scores are. But I think with Washington potentially in a situation where, let's say they went out, they're 12-1 Pac-12 champion, and they're being put up against an 11-1 Ohio State at the end, and Ohio State in this scenario would not have played in the Big Ten championship game. You know, where we sit at the moment, it's easy for people to say, oh, you know what, the committee would take Ohio State. They're clearly better than Washington. And that's the way it feels coming off of what we saw last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But if we try to put ourselves just a few more weeks into the future, if Washington bounces back from that USC game and they blow out Arizona State and then they win the Apple Cup on the road, and then they have a convincing win in the Pac-12 championship game, I think everyone's opinion of Washington would be different then from what it is today. And, you know, at the same time, if they were to barely beat Arizona State, or at least beat them in a fashion that's not all that impressive to watch, then I think it would really hurt Washington in terms of trying to make a case that they're at least as good as Ohio State. Let's remember the way that the committee's guidelines are written. It says that a non-champion must be unequivocally one of the top four teams, one of the four best teams mm-hmm. in the country in order to get in. And so in this case, that means that Ohio State, for example, would have to be considered unequivocally better than at least two of the Power Five champions. So for Washington, it's not so much that they have to prove they're better than Ohio State. They just have to prove that they just have to prove doubt. You know, if they can plant some doubt that Ohio State is absolutely better than them, no questions asked, then that could be enough to get them in. And that kind of starts with, you know, with not messing around with Arizona State.
And there's one other part of this. So To give me a little bit further, your view of if Ohio State, or just if any team is not playing in the conference championship game, should they be in or out? Does that matter to the committee? And I'm speaking towards Ohio State and all this.
Well, look, I don't think that it matters as much to the committee whether you're in the conference championship game or not. If you're not the conference champion, you're not the conference champ. And if you look at most of the Power Five leagues, there's a pretty significant imbalance from one division to another. So I think in most of these leagues, being second in one division is no different than getting to the championship game and losing there. So it really just comes down to, you know, to whether you're a conference champ. I find it interesting that we're having this discussion now about the possibility of Ohio State or Louisville getting in as a non-champion. And you go back to when these guidelines were first put in place, when they were creating the playoff. And I think a lot of this was kind of developed, a lot of this language about what a non-champion would have to do to get in was developed because a lot of the other leagues were trying to make sure that it was not going to be easy for the SEC to have two of the four teams, because obviously they were the undisputed power of college football.
That's
at
a good
the
point.
Time this was all devised.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny that somebody had pointed out an article from 2012 where Jim Delaney was speaking about this, and he had said that he didn't think that a team that did not win its division had any place in a playoff. Now, of course, this is before the playoff was even created, but it's funny to look at it now. And if you hold him to that, that would mean he doesn't think Ohio State belongs in the playoff if they don't get to the Big Ten championship game. So that will certainly be held against him. But there are a lot of people who share that opinion.
I appreciate your time and your insight as always on this, Brad. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Good talking to you. Brad Edwards, ESPN College Football Insider. And analysts, good stuff there. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. comes up next. We're going to talk about the Vikings and also about his son and the production that he's seen. Fitz was targeted 18 times last week. Like, who would have thought at 33 years of age? And is he slowing down? And maybe some future insight from Larry Fitzgerald Sr. That's next. Talk with Larry Fitzgerald Sr. now, longtime Twin Cities multimedia personality. We saw Fitz Sr. in the press box at Sunday's game with the Cardinals and 49ers. Mr. Fitzgerald, it's Brad Sussmat. How are you?
Good to be with you, Brad. Good to see you Sunday, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Right back at you. All right, so explain to me what is going on with the Vikings. It's been a month since they've won a game. What is the story in Minneapolis around this team?
Amazing story watching what's transpired with this team when you consider they finished 4-0 in the preseason and started 5-0, the last undefeated team in the NFL. But if you recall, they lost their starting quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, a week going into the regular season with a ruptured knee, a dislocation, an AC tear, and that really put a damper on the start of the season. And so the Viking brain trust got their thoughts together and went out and acquired Sam Bradford from Philadelphia and gave up a first and a fourth pick. And he came in and bang, led them to four straight wins. And they started 5-0. But along the way, they had been losing people in terms of offensive linemen. They lost Adrian Peterson, a future Hall of Fame running back, the second game of the year against the Packers on that Sunday night. They won the game 17-14, but lost him. He's been on IR since. And subsequently, since then, they've lost their left tackle, Matt Khalil. They lost their right tackle, who they signed from Cincinnati in unrestricted free agency. And both of those guys out for the season. And subsequently, they've signed two other guys that replaced them both, and they've lost both of them.
Yeah.
Now, on top of that, they can't run the football. That's been one of their big problems. Obviously losing Adrian, but with no continuity up front, they haven't been able to consistently have a running game. And everybody you play in the NFL does what somebody you played before had success with against you. So they've been getting a steady diet of the same thing. And subsequently, this defense, which is one of the best in the NFL, has sort of worn down. They've given up 21, 22, and 26 points in the last four games, and they're 0-4 when they give up 20 points or more, so that's the margin the Cardinals should be shooting for Sunday.
Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. with us, talking about the Vikings. I guess the silver lining of all of this, you've got to look for those. Diggs has come out and has established himself here. He's played very well at wide receiver. They did lose Norv Turner. Turner walked away from the. So there's just been a lot of injury, a lot of uncertainty. It sounds like from a distance, but there's been some players that have moved through. Tell me about Diggs and his season.
He's been playing terrific. He's just an outstanding young man. He's so elusive. He's got the combination of quickness and speed. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Percy Harvin when he was here. And he and Sam Bradford have really connected, particularly over the last 3 weeks. I think he had 13 catches last week for a career-high 164 yards. And he's just been doing a lot of big things. The problem for the Vikings has just been the fact that they get behind. Mm-hmm. And then the kicking issues that have been there since they blew the game and a chance to beat Seattle in the playoffs last year. And I'm speaking about missing kicks. The Cardinals have had their own problems in that area. But
right.
I tell you, Blair Walsh was a Pro Bowl kicker back in 2012, but he missed that field goal that would have beat Seattle last year on the final play outside over at TCL Stadium last year. And he has just carried that into this year. And he's missed 8 kicks, 4 field goals and 4 extra points. And finally, Mike Zimmer and the administration here said they've had enough and let him go.
Talk with Larry Fitzgerald Sr., longtime Twin Cities multimedia personality, of course, the father of Larry Fitzgerald. And as we saw your son on Sunday be targeted 18 times, and they did an MRI on him earlier this week, I guess the question is, are you surprised with his productivity and durability this far into his career and the numbers he is still putting up from a consistency factor? You followed this league, Larry, for a long time. Are you surprised watching your son and what he's still doing?
Absolutely. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's got some divine intervention behind him. Maybe his mom and certainly God is protecting him because he's taking a lot of hits. He's probably one of the most physical receivers you'll ever see. I mean, he's always, it seems, blocking somebody.
Yep.
And like you touched on, to see him get 18 targets, wow, that was, I don't think, I talked to him about it at home after the victory, and it was just amazing. And to see him, you know, with his leg on ice and doing the things that he has to do to try to help get over some of the pain of victory. But he loves it. He's so passionate about it. He's always been that way from the time he was a little kid. And I just remember him telling me that he wanted to play, and he wanted to play at a high level. And from that time, I started sharing my stories with him and gave him everything I could to help him along the way. And to see him be where he is today, to go over 14,000 career yards, I mean, the third fastest in the history of football, and to have all those catches and to have helped transform the Cardinals from what they were to what they are now, it's really something that I'm really honored to know that my son really gets it.
Well, it's stunning to and I'm not even talking dad to dad here, right? I'm just talking football observer to football observer here for a second, if that's possible, to see him come in week one as a Cardinal when he was drafted, from my view, and you're there every week too, but to see him just grow in so many ways on the field, off the field, I can't emphasize enough. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer without question, but he's a first ballot Hall of Famer in how he's handled all of this too. There's guys that come in, it's like watching Romo yesterday. It was terrific. Okay. And that's the type of stuff that your son has exuded since he's been here since day one. So there's a lot to this story that it's not just gushing over Larry, because I've had you on before about this, and it's you've got to really admire that the numbers he's putting up. To me, it seems like he can keep playing, and that's his call. But this, I know people are putting down as the swan song to Minneapolis, and this will be his last. I don't know that, and I'm not looking for you to admit to that, but I think that he could keep doing this a long time. That's my point.
Yeah, he could. And, you know, I think he'll make that determination on what's going to happen at the end of the season. I know he's focused on trying to get the Cardinals in the playoffs and go win a world championship. And this is a very talented Cardinal team. And obviously you've had to deal with a number of injuries along the way. But, you know, that's the issue for everybody in the National Football League. You got to have some good fortune and have things go your way. But he's just trying to will this team. And, you know, I've even talked to some Cardinal coaches who have told me, they said, look, you know, your son has got so much invested in this team and this organization, and, you know, he should demand a little more out of some of his teammates and things like that. So it's amazing to me that he recognizes who he is and what he is to his football team, but he never oversteps his bounds, and he's always respectful of his teammates, and he's good at jabbing guys, too. That's a big part of his personality, but I can't tell you how overjoyed I've been at watching him find a way to get better every day and try to bring that to the Cardinals and to the National Football League each and every Sunday.
Stay well. Appreciate your time and your insight as always. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's always good to catch up with Larry Fitzgerald Sr., longtime Twin Cities multimedia personality, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. on the show today. It was fun. This is a show. I love doing meat and potato shows. Love that. Get into it with Brad Edwards, roll up sleeves, get into it with Fitz Sr., have some fun. I appreciate Eric Sorensen and his support, and Jared Nielsen, as always, chairman of the board. I am Brad Sussmat. The show repeats over and over for the next 24 hours. Tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, we have Brad Sussmat's Football AZ, high school, college, pro college, high school, makes no difference to me, things we see around the state of Arizona. Enjoy your Wednesday.